This is TWiT.
Brian Krebs reported that the Lizard Squad, we've talked about Lizard Squad in the last couple of weeks, you know, they came to the fore over the Christmas holidays because they brought down both Xbox Live and the Sony PlayStation Network over the holidays. Some was like claiming that they did it to show that the security was weak on those networks, when in fact what they did was blast them with, you know, a ton of bandwidth, which is a fundamental sad fact of the internet, is that links have a limited amount of bandwidth. There are unfortunately many computers on the internet which are not secure, which can be taken over and have historically been taken over by botnets and used to all send traffic to a single point of focus, which ends up collapsing the hardware. I mean, the routers on the way in, as the traffic aggregates from one router to the next, finally you get to a point where either the link can no longer carry that amount of traffic or the router can't route that many packets per second. What Brian Krebs reported, though, was really interesting. It turns out that Lizard Squad's botnet is largely powered by our little blue box consumer routers. We talked also recently
warned about this. Yep.
Yep, exactly. There are known back doors which have not been patched. And I mean, in some cases, patches are available. In other cases, the back door has been modified to make it much more difficult to you have to knock on the door essentially locally, which precludes a remote internet attack. But routers are not perfect, and their WAN interface is out there. And this is a little Linux machine running in these boxes. It turns out that they've created a worm so that compromised routers scan the net for other compromised routers and are able to take them over. And the Christmas attacks were powered by consumer routers that are running their botnet in the background. So, I imagine that listeners to this podcast probably have replaced the default firmware with Tomato or, one of the alternative better packages, or at least they're keeping themselves current with what the manufacturers provided. But we know that there are millions of these little routers that are, you know, sitting in a dusty closet, and they're doing their job, but they're also doing more than their job.
Well, the other problem is that router manufacturers consider these commodity devices and often don't update. Do we know what devices were suspect? And it was a huge,
yeah,
it was everything, right? It was a huge.
Yeah, exactly. It was a huge list. It was cross manufacturer and just a vast array of routers.
It was what reference code in the chipset that everybody implemented, or I'm trying to remember the detail. Well, you know, I don't need to. Yeah. Anyway, is there a fix or a way to know if you're vulnerable?
There really isn't. You're not going to see it on the LAN side. If you suspect, I mean, if you have lights on your cable modem or your fiber interface separate from the router, and they're going like crazy, but you're not doing anything, that is, your router is doing something, that would be a tip-off. Mostly just, you want to not use default usernames and passwords. Brian noted that as a major reason that these routers have been exploited, is that people just, they left the manufacturer's well-known defaults, that way. So it was very easy for bad guys to get into them. So you want to change username and password. Turn off remote management features. Almost no one needs them, but generally they're unfortunately all too often enabled by default. And And keep the router's firmware current. If there is a firmware update, there's a reason. So, because as you state, you know, none of these router manufacturers are excited about updating firmware for commodity devices. So if something has driven them to do so, there's a reason. So you want that firmware update.